Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Levine. Last week, we started the discussion as to what is sexual harassment. And really, we had a great discussion. A whole bunch of people called in. I gave my priority to women callers. Although I'll say this, if you are a male victim of sexual harassment, I will give you priority as well. The priority will go to those who have actually suffered some form of sexual harassment. Now, most are women, but we know it can happen to men. So, but that's who I'm prioritizing this hour. We didn't get to finish the discussion. We had a lot of really great people tell their stories, and I didn't get to finish. In fact, Deborah from Roanoke was on the line, and unfortunately, I gave her like, a minute. She had a minute left, and she was going into a really in-depth story. A horrific story, and I knew that I wanted to hear more. I knew you'd want to hear more. It's important that we hear people's stories, because it's only by hearing people's stories that we're able to do something about this nationwide problem, a problem that's been around for millennia, I'm sure, but one that really we're just starting to talk about. So welcome to my Facebook audience. Welcome to the radio audience. I think I said it. I'm Mark Levine. Welcome to the Inside Scoop, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. I want to get right to the lines, and then we'll talk more about what is sexual harassment and what we can do to stop it. If you want to call in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go right to Deborah from Roanoke. Deborah, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark.
And thanks for coming back. I'm sorry we just literally ran out of time last time, but I wanted to give you the time you needed to tell your story. It's a grim one, but it's important that people understand what goes on across the country. So if you don't mind, please share with us.
Well, as I was stating last week, as an adult survivor of childhood incest and rape by my father, I am full on aware of the consequences of telling your story. It happened with me when I was a 15-year-old child, moved out of the only home I knew away from my sister, and moved in with a woman I had only met once before, which is my real mother. No longer invited for birthdays, holiday celebrations, weddings, or even my own sister's high school graduation because of the situation.
Well, if you could just, because so not everyone was around last week, if you could remind, and again, I know it's a tough thing, and I really, really admire your courage in sharing it with us, but if you could go a little bit more into the background, when did your father first attack you? How old were you?
I was 11. It was 11. 2 weeks before Christmas.
And attacked you sexually?
Yes.
And it's your real father or a stepfather?
My real father.
Your biological father attacked you. And was it something where he said, don't tell your mom? Again, if you ever don't want to share anything, that's your right. This is your life. But if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit more so people can understand the context of how this happens and how it feels when you're 11 years old and your father is doing this. If you could just give us a little more insight.
Well, let's just state that I still do not like doing dishes to this day. I was doing dishes, and he came up behind me and started taking my pants off. And
really?
I mean,
your mom wasn't home at the time?
No, my stepmother was out shopping.
Okay. And after taking off your pants, he proceeded to, again, you don't have to share.
Sexually molesting.
Okay. And you said, Dad, what are you doing? Stop. Surprised. What was your reaction as your 11-year-old self? Do you remember?
I don't think I knew how to process what was going on.
Sure you didn't.
Because, you know, this is my dad. What's
right.
going on? You know, I was completely Vince as a child as to, you know, what's going on. But then again, at the age of 11, you're not supposed to know what
sex is. No, you really aren't. This continued on and off, or mostly on, for 4 years?
Well, he was a long-distance truck driver, so it happened whenever he came home off the road. But when I was 15, I finally told.
Your mom.
And my stepmother.
Your stepmom.
Yeah, my stepmother. She tried putting me on birth control at the age of 11. So hindsight 2020, you can't tell me she didn't know.
She tried to put you on birth control at the age of 11 before you told her what your dad was doing.
Right, because I didn't tell until I was 15.
Yeah, that's strange. You hadn't even had your period yet, I assume, at 11. I mean, you could have, but it's not relevant.
Somewhere around in there, I started with my period, but...
But how did she give you the birth control pills? Did she say, I think you need these?
She took me to the health department and had me have an exam, and the nurse came in there, and they were going to make me watch a videotape about birth control and condoms and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't even know what y'all are talking about. And she's not even my real mother. So at that point, the nurse, you know, went and told her that, you know, unless you have, you know, full custody of her, we can't allow you to put her on birth control.
I don't know how I feel about that for other reasons, but in any case, did you get the pills or no?
No, she couldn't get me put on them.
And, now, you never got pregnant between age 11 and 15.
No, he didn't rape me until I was 19. Because when I was 19, I reverted back to my 11-year-old self. You know, that's what happens when you're in a situation and something happens. You revert back to, you know, you're frozen.
Let me just pause again to tell you how courageous you are for sharing your story. And I want to thank you for doing that. And if any time you feel uncomfortable, obviously, please don't. But this is real insight that people can understand, because this happens behind closed doors. And so a lot of people don't think it's as common as it is. And so I just really, really value your courage. You told your stepmom when she was when you were 15, and what did she do?
She looked at me, and she said, I don't know why you're crying. I'm the one that missed out on all the sex.
Was she always this strange? Was she always this unfeeling? Did you not feel much love from either of them growing up?
There was a lot of physical abuse from her, you know. When my dad would come home, it would be a relief because I wasn't constantly getting whipped. But then at the same time, I was having to deal with what my dad was doing, because she would leave the house, leave me to do the dishes, take my sister and go grocery shopping for 2 and 3 hours, and then come back. So she left me there.
How old is your sister?
She's 11 months older than I am.
And
according to her, he's never messed with her.
Did your sister believe you when you told what happened?
Not at first. Well, she did, but then after my stepmother had me moved in with my real mother,
She later came to believe it.
She like ganged up on me and whatnot, and that's when my sister was like, well, you know, I believe that.
You only have the one sister, right? No other siblings?
The other ones are half-blood through my mother.
Through your mother, but none other through your father. Now,
nope.
Your parents divorced when you were quite young?
Yeah, my mother and my father, they divorced when I was 2.
Did you have a relationship with your biological mother from the age of 2 till the age of 15?
I had only met her once when I was 11 years old.
And why was that? Did she not have an interest in you? Did your father keep you away from her? Do you know?
We were kept away from her. I don't know. There was a bunch of drama. She was told that we were told that she was dead, so she didn't want to reach out. And I mean,
you were told
I don't know.
She
it's
was
all that
dead.
Complicated crap.
Well, I mean, you've been through an extremely abusive childhood. When you went with your mom, your biological mother, at age 15, did it get better? No.
Let's just say, you know how when you're young, and especially with women or girls, you know, you mark your calendar, you know, on the date that you start your period, you know, so you can monitor. Well, we were tracking mine, and she was tracking hers, and I seen on the calendar A plus M, and I'm like, what is A plus M? She goes, you don't need to worry about it. It doesn't affect you. And then I, you know, it registered. A for Alan, M for Mary. And she was having an affair with my father, although she was married to somebody else. So that broke the trust with my real mother.
When did you escape this family drama?
When she moved away from Florida and went up to Minnesota. I was 18 at the time. Just left me down there.
Just left
and
you
that's
by
when
yourself.
I had to turn to my father for help with food and, you know, pay some light bills and whatnot because I was in my mother's house. You know, no way to pay bills because I don't have a car. And that's when my father started raping me.
I take it you never reported these rapes to the authorities?
When I was 15, my mother had taken me to the cops. They did a video interview. And luckily enough for that video interview, since there was no physical signs or whatever, you know, back then when I was, you know, a child, when I went and reported it when I was 19, luckily enough for that and the DNA evidence they collected, they were able to charge him, and he pleaded no contest.
So what happened then?
He went to prison. He served 5 years of his 10, and then he was, you know, released, but he was put on the sex offender registry.
And how did you move on? Did you be able to escape your mom and your dad and your stepmom and build a life for yourself? How did you escape, well, financially, emotionally? I mean, you seem like you got it together now, thank God. How were you able to get past this?
Once the internet was created, you know, and reaching out to different groups and stuff like that, and, you know, just forming my own opinions and telling my story, you know, because the one thing that I feel is that we as sexual assault survivors owe it to our perpetrators, future victims, to speak our truth, even if our voice shakes. If we don't speak up and let it be known, then you're leaving a trail of women behind you to be assaulted or molested or whatever because you don't speak up.
Deborah, I couldn't agree with you more, and I just, your courage, I don't know how much you know about me. I just met you on my radio show, but I'm helping survivors.
Well, we're Facebook friends.
What's that? We're Facebook friends, but I don't, you know, I have lots of Facebook friends I don't know personally. I don't know if you know, I've tried to be a champion both for survivors of sexual assault and survivors of domestic violence, both, well, as an activist and also legislatively. I've got to take a commercial break. Stay on the line with me, Deborah. I want to encourage others to call in as well, if you don't mind sharing your stories, at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Never confuse Mark Levine with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I'm talking with Deborah from Roanoke, who shared a very, very painful story. It's a reminder, Deborah, that, you know, we like to believe that there are all these happy parents and happy children, and behind closed doors, nothing bad really happens. And, of course, it's not true. There are many dysfunctional and even violent and molesting parents out there. And there's a lot of people who just shouldn't be raising children. It's one of the things, frankly, that I've been trying to work on in the Virginia General Assembly, to make sure that people who do these horrific things don't get custody of children. It's a very hard battle to fight. There's some in the law that think that parents have almost a property right in their children, which I think is disgusting. Parents and children are human beings, and children have the right not to be abused, and parents don't have a right in children. If they're good parents, no one wants to harm that child-parent bond, but if they're bad parents, I mean, in your case, it would have been good if someone had just gotten you out of there. We only have a short segment here just because we talked a lot in the first segment. We'll have more time after the half-hour break. But briefly, tell me about your, I don't know what the right word is, coming out, your realization of what happened, your ability to stand on your own two feet. How does that happen, given the horrors that happened to you?
I was 29, and I was having a breakthrough crisis. More like a, I don't know what's the word for it, midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm. But could be an epiphany if it was a good thing. But I'll tell you what, save that thought, Deborah, because, like I said, that was a short segment. We'll have plenty of time after the half-hour break in about 4 minutes. I encourage others to call in and share your stories as well. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
The voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about sexual harassment. Everything is welcome to chat about, from leering glances in the workplace to very, very severe sexual assault and beating, like the kind that Deborah from Roanoke, who's been calling in. I really should call you my guest today, not merely a caller, because, Deborah, your story is... it's very powerful, and I think we all admire your courage in being able to share with us. You were telling me before the break what helped you escape. Because once you're assaulted, it's not just a physical act of one day, or in your case, unfortunately, over a period of years. But even once you escape, there are mental injuries. There's post-traumatic stress. I've talked to Holocaust survivors, and the pain continues after the torture has stopped, because there's a mental torture. There's this shell shock, this post-traumatic stress. You were saying that at age 29, something helped you get better. Tell me about that.
I was watching Oprah Winfrey at the time, and
good old Oprah.
She had a show on there, and I just snapped, you know, and I got angry, and so I wrote a letter to every member of my family.
Wow.
I described exactly everything he did. I let them know how it felt that they did not have my back. And when I did not get any response from any of my family members, I made my first website.
Really?
And I put it all online.
So you found comfort in strangers who had suffered from some of the same abuse?
Yes.
And what year was this? Did you first do this, put this up?
Oh, God, it was back in the 90s, I think.
Yeah, when the internet was new.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. I've done a lot of work with people who were abused as teenagers in some of these things they call troubled teen centers. They also call them boot camps, or sometimes drug rehabilitation centers. Basically, they're places where parents send their children to be locked up children who've committed no crime, been convicted of no crime, but they're like difficult kids, and frankly, parents, some well-meaning, some less so, send their kids there, and they have no rights. It's one of the things I'm also trying to work on to regulate in Virginia. But many of them tell me that they sat in silence. Some of them were raped. Most of them were abused, and sat for decades until the internet came and they found out, oh, I'm not the only one. Oh, there's lots of people in my situation.
Yeah.
How have you been able to use what happened to you and join with others to make a difference, Tamara?
Well, I kind of distanced myself from, like, support groups or anything like that because, you know, it's that constant PTSD. You know, just like with the Trump when he talked about sexually assaulting women.
The Access Hollywood tape.
With the Roy Moore.
Right.
You know, it...
Does it bring it back for you in a really painful way?
Not in a painful way. It's just I don't like being in a triggered state of mind. And that's kind of how I've been feeling since Trump, you know?
What does the trigger do? Does it make you angry all the time or nervous or able to function? Help us understand the real effects on you.
Well, my depression medication just got upped another 25. So I'm now up to 100. And I take an anti-anxiety medication. And the funny thing on how I got put on that, it was after my father died. After he died,
how did you feel when your father died?
I went to see him for the first time in 18 years. This was in 2015, 2 years ago. And... You know, because
he ever apologized to you?
Well, he is my father, so, you know, I felt that, you know, I should at least be there, and I wanted to get closure. That is what I wanted. And, you know, he asked me if I forgave him. And like a dumbass, I said yes. Sorry for cussing on air.
It's all right. That word actually we're allowed to use, but go on.
And then he said he forgave me.
What?
And, you know...
Like you'd done anything wrong. That's offensive.
That went around in my head for a good 2 weeks. And I finally called him up. And I was like, when you said you forgave me, what do you forgive me for?
Turning
him
in.
He said that he forgave me because I went outside the family and told, and because I sent him to prison.
He sounds like he really didn't have remorse for what he did.
No.
Even after all those years. See, I think there is and I do think it's a relatively small percentage of men, at least I like to hope so, who are true sexual predators, who just don't even see the wrong in what they do. They're like animals. They have no moral compunction whatsoever. And
well,
they exist among us, and there's too many of them.
The thing is, after he got released from prison,
mm-hmm.
I found out
probably did it again
through my cousin that I wasn't his first victim. He had messed with his own sister and a cousin of theirs, but it was swept under the rug, and that's what they tried to do with me, to keep it in the closet and not let anybody know.
This, to me, really brings... I mean, I don't have, you know, Roy Moore's accusers on my radio show, but I really think for those that don't understand, for those that say, why didn't she speak out, this 14-year-old girl whom he threatened and said, you know, I'm the DA, no one will believe you. You know, they kept him from the malls, they kept him from the YMCA, his co-workers knew. I mean, I don't know too many grown men that hang out around the malls and try to pick up 14-year-olds.
Well, I mean, yes, it is on the men to educate other men on what not to do around females. But women have also been complicit in allowing this rape culture to continue, simply because they believe the man over the child.
Sisters, you're talking about mothers, your stepmom, your mom, your
sisters, mothers, aunties, grandmothers. When a child comes to you, believe them, and then take action. When you advocate, when an adult advocates on behalf of a child, and he or she sees that, it will boost their self-esteem, and it will boost their confidence so that he or she doesn't grow up being a damaged adult and allowing themselves to be further victimized because they equate sex for love. And that is what I got from my father when I was 11 till the time I was 15. And, you know, so then I put myself in situations because I thought sex was love.
Deborah, I can't thank you enough for sharing your powerful story. I'm really glad I invited you back. I'm really glad we continued this show for a week. Feel free to contact me offline if there's any legislation. I mean, you're a Virginian as well. It doesn't matter that you're at the other end of the state. If there's a way, if there's legislation that you think that would help kids like what you were facing, what you faced, let me know. I'm all ears. I want to help. All right?
All right.
Thank you again. I really, really appreciate your sharing your story.
Thank you for allowing me to tell it.
Whew. Boy, if that hit you like a ton of bricks, hit me too. I know these things happen. I'm not naive. I've heard stories like Deborah's before. Each story's a little different. But there's certain patterns that are the same. Patterns of power and abuse. Powers of people trying to encourage victims not to speak up. One of the things that I always try to do, and I've given speeches about it, you can check on YouTube, I've talked all about it many times, is I want to encourage people to speak up. People need to understand that it is never, never, underline never, the fault of the victim. It's the fault of the perpetrator. Doesn't matter what she was wearing. It doesn't matter how much she had to drink. It doesn't matter that she was out at 2 a.m. alone. Hey, guys, you can be out alone at 2 a.m. Whatever happened, no one deserves abuse. No one deserves rape, and no one deserves sexual assault, and particularly not children. Think about a child. When you're a child, the only people you really trust are your parents, right? I mean, who else do you have? You might have a sibling, though in this case, Deborah had a sister who initially didn't believe her. If you don't trust your family, you got to reach out, maybe find a teacher. It's hard to do. You're kind of alone in the world. One of the things I learned helping these children in abusive treatment centers is that if you're a child and you're locked up and you can't even talk to your parents, you're in the mercy of everyone. You have no rights under the law. One of the things I really liked about Hillary Clinton, frankly, working in the Children's Defense Fund, is recognizing children's rights. You know, there's this idea that until you're 18, you're not a human being. I don't understand the right wing that wants to protect fetuses and wants to protect, I guess, adults, but doesn't seem to give a damn about children. They've just let children's health care insurance expire. I mean, I guess a child dying of cancer isn't as important to them as a corporate jet owner or a golf course owner who needs another $1 million tax break. But child abuse? Can't we all agree that child abuse is wrong? And yet Alabama might elect Roy Moore. They're so angry about abortions, some of them, that they're willing to accept child rape. My God, if you care about a fetus, if you care about a zygote, if you care about an embryo, could you at least have compassion for a little girl? When will Republicans start to care about life? Real life. Human life. The lives of people who live and love and can be destroyed by these awful predators. All right, I'll take a break. If you want to call in, please do. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Just heard a very, very powerful personal story from Deborah from Roanoke. I'm still very thankful for her sharing it. Speaking of sexual harassment, Donald Trump has formally endorsed child molester Roy Moore.
What?
I could say alleged child molester. I probably should for legal reasons, except that, well, the women's testimony is so powerful and so persuasive. And if Roy Moore feels he's being libeled, you know, he should just sue me, because then we get to take his deposition, and that would give these women a trial. So come at me, Roy, child molester. Let me go to the line. We've got Michael from the Bronx. Old Faithful's been holding a long time. Line four. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, I'm just deeply moved by your previous guest, and you couldn't pick a better time, Mark, to have her on to show everybody the kind of person that Roy Moore and even Trump and all these other right-wingers that think they own women and can do whatever they want and got the audacity to trivialize Roe v. Wade. We need Roe v. Wade more than ever on both sides, because there are men like Trump, like Moore, who would impregnate the mistresses or the other women, and just to get rid of the evidence, they force that woman to get an abortion. But then they'll get so pissed off when the woman says, no, my body, my choice, I'm keeping my baby. And then now they like go all buck wild, like they don't know what to do next.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we fought for in Virginia this year, 2017, last year, I guess, was for the right to have birth control. And it's striking to me that Republicans mostly opposed that, because if they truly believed in the life of the fetus, they love fetuses. Again, they don't like children very much, but they seem to really like
Mark,
fetuses.
I got a newsflash for you. They don't care about the fetus.
No, it's all about a woman's sex life. It's about the woman's body. It's about controlling her sexuality.
Controlling. That's exactly what it is. What is so scary is that they'll turn around and they will do whatever it is to a woman, impregnate her, then they force her to get an abortion. Then they want to make it a law saying any woman has an abortion should be thrown in prison. Then what?
And let me say this. I am more than aware that there are liberal sexual predators just as there are conservative sexual predators. There's like I said, that hopefully still a small percentage, although I wonder how many these days, but still a minority of men who are sexual predators. I think the difference is this, though. I think when a liberal does these things, you see liberals call out our own. And it doesn't matter whether it's in Hollywood or it's in politics. Frankly, the things that Al Franken has been accused of, while bad, are nothing in the severity of what Roy Moore has been accused of. John Conyers was asked to resign. And, of course, Harvey Weinstein's fired. And they're all fired. Charlie Rose and Matt
Lauer.
But
the big thing is...
But Republicans don't seem to punish their own for this.
Where is the equal accountability? That's what we've got to be pushing. Where's the equal accountability? I'm a happily married man of 17 years to a beautiful wife, and I'm always concerned for her well-being because of the sickos out there that listen to the rhetoric of the likes of these male chauvinists. And then, like, I'm not supposed to have a say... be protective of my wife, because God help the person that gets out of line with her. I don't care what title that person has. I will take your butt to court and make sure criminal charges are filed.
Well,
on it.
They should be. And I want to thank you for your call, Michael. Thank you so much for calling in. One of the things that I do, and I've talked about this before on air, but particularly if you live in Northern Virginia or the D.C. metropolitan area, I'd love for you to join me next April. Just giving a commercial. I'm not paid to do this, but there's something called the Rally Against Rape. That I believe it's on the last Thursday in April. I'll talk about it when that comes around. It's still months from now in Roslyn, Virginia, put out by a very, very strong woman who does a terrific job. But this isn't really a rally. It's kind of a misnomer. We don't chant. We don't march on Washington. I'm all for rallies. This really isn't a rally. What it is it's a massive therapy session where 100, usually more than 100, people come. Honestly, it's 90% women. And of the women, I would say 75% are the age 25 or younger. Mostly women and girls ages 15 to 25. And they each tell their stories. And their stories, Deborah's is more severe perhaps than many, but some of them are pretty close. And they talk about how they trusted the guy on a date, or they didn't know that their step uncle was like that, or no one believed them at the fraternity house, or so forth and so on. And the vast majority of them never would go to the police. Because, I mean, we do have due process, we do have a constitution, and even if they prove that there is forensic evidence of sexual contact, the guy just says she consented. And, well, you need proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So most of these women have never had a chance to talk to authorities. Many of them have talked to no one other than their friends. Some of them, when this evening, it's the first time after hearing story after story after story that they tell theirs. And the hope and pray I have for Deborah, for all these young women, for the men that are sexually assaulted, because frankly they have a hard time telling their stories, because men feel very weak when they shouldn't. If you're a victim of violence, you're a victim. My hope for everyone is they find a safe place to share their story. Sharing alone is cathartic. Justice is better. But sharing is the first step. And that's why I'm so proud to have people like Deborah listen to my show. Tune in Wednesday. We've got a whole new show on net neutrality and the environment. Don't miss Wednesday's Inside Scoop.